Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, all, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds so, Father, that we can be receptive unto this, thy word. May the Holy Spirit now bring unto us the truth, Father, of this word, so that we can grow in faith, grow in strength, and grow closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ, unto you. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be actually in the last chapter of John this morning. I had thought about going ahead and finishing up Romans because we was to be in the last chapter of that. But instead, the good Lord moved me here. So, we'll close out the book. Well, we won't close it out today, but we'll be working on it here in the next days or two. We should get it closed out. Now, we're in the 16th chapter of John. And there's actually trying to see here. It's actually 21 chapters. We'll see how far we can get and what the Lord our God has for us this morning. All right. Verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Now, verse 2 there, that verse actually refers to the fulfillment of the prophecy. And he's letting you and I know that we shouldn't be offended, but yet, too, we can look forward to them turning against us in a lot of ways, because his warning here is for his disciples, but also for you and I. Now, 3, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And we know in that day and time they didn't want to know, and today we're living in the same kind of condition here in our land, because those that are evil in our government has brought so much evil against this land and against the people. And they've taken Jesus out of every place he was in. They don't even want you praying in public and ending that prayer in Jesus' name. They took it away from our military chaplains. Our military chaplains are not allowed to use that name, Jesus. Think about that. Now, if they do, they can be court-martialed and even put out of the service. So you see, we that are the children of God are not as free as we once were. And we have so many that are standing against us today, especially when we teach the truth of God's word. Even a lot of them that have called themselves Christians are against you and I because we are coming with the truth of God's word. And they don't want that at all. They want to continue on in their own ways and teaching things that are contrary to the word of God. Now, 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Now, you see, he knows that he is on his way of finishing everything here and going back to the Father. And that's why he's given them this warning and all. Here in verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, you know, we've been told several times about the Comforter coming. Jesus had to go back to heaven, back to the Father. And then he would send the Comforter to us. Now, verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now you see, as we go on here now, with 9, of sin because they believe not on me, 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. 11, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to reprove and to point out a fault or an error. To expose something as it really is, the Holy Spirit reproves concerning three topics. One, sin. And the Holy Spirit reveals the need of redemption because they believe not on me. He was telling us that as we read there. They don't believe on him. So, and the greatest sin is unbelief. Now, while the greatest work is belief, and number two, the second thing, is righteousness, the Holy Spirit reveals the possibility of redemption because I go to my Father. Christ goes to the Father after a righteous life and the death that will impute this righteousness to others. Three, of judgment, the Holy Spirit reveals the reality of redemption because the prince of this world is judged. And the power of Christ to judge Satan and to overthrow his kingdom is not future, but at the cross and the resurrection, and is judged means has been judged. For the prince of the world, you know, and it tells us then to see also 12:31 and 14:30. So we've been through that. Now, but you see, those are the things that are there in those last verses we read through 11. Now 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. 13. Pardon me. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You see, that's why you and I are in need of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It's because he brings us the truth. He'll give us the guidance that we need into all truth, and he'll not speak of himself, but he is always speaking about and leading us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has brought the power of Almighty God to live within us so that we have the ability to do anything that is asked of us to do. Now, pardon me a moment. Now, you know, as we come on down now to 14, he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He'll show it unto you. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. the Lord there. Jesus is telling us that the Father has what is his, and therefore he's going to take what is Jesus and his, and he'll show it unto us. You know, there is a lot of things yet to be into your life once you start really serving the Lord Jesus Christ and doing the things he wants us to do. When we really walk in obedience unto him and put him first in our lives, thing about us changes. Now, 16. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. You see, they don't have the understanding that they will have after they receive the Holy Ghost. Because you see, as of this point, they don't have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, and they're mixed up, so to speak. 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Now he's about to explain some things to them. 20. Here's our two words again. Verily, verily, pay attention. I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, 22. And you now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You know, there is a lot of things there that just verifies the fact of how different things are for those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the difference that is between them and those that are still walking in darkness. For those that are walking in darkness will be just like these. They don't have that understanding. Now, they can sit and read the Bible from now on and still never have that understanding until they go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and fulfill that plan of salvation to become a child of God. And then as the Holy Spirit gets with them and begins to guide them and give them understanding, then they will understand as they study the Word of God and gain the knowledge that they need and the knowledge that God wants them to have. Now, 23, and in those days you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. When we pray, we are to pray in Jesus' name to the Father. And when we do and we are sincere, we are his child, we can have what we ask. Now, 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You see, he's sharing a whole lot of knowledge with us right there. 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out God. How are you standing today? How is your faith? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus has come from the Father, and that the Father is in him, and he is in the Father? And that the Father sent him, and that he sent him so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, and that he took our sins, sicknesses, diseases, and all to the cross and died so we could have? He's letting us know right here about that. Now, 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. He's letting them know now of his death. He knows how he's going to die. And so far here, he hasn't told them how. He just said he's going to the Father. 29. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speaketh thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things? Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Now, 31. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He's warning them of what they are actually going to do, because they are promising him a lot of things that they're not capable of keeping because of fear. Because, you see, as of yet, they are still on their own. Now, even though they are handpicked and all, but they have not been given the Holy Spirit as of yet. Now, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We know we're going to have trials and tribulations. And in so doing, we can even thank God for them, because it is through trials and tribulations that we gain in strength, and that we will gain and grow in knowledge of Almighty God. Think about this. Now, we have finished with 16. We're going to be going into 17. Here in verse 1 of chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. 3. And this is life eternal, that might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, 17, even there in 1, Jesus has said that his hour had finally come. And this refers not only to his death, but also to his resurrection and his exaltation, and that this glorified refers to the cross and the resurrection. And you know, verse 2 means that the giving of eternal life directly depended on the glorification of the Son. In other words, of the Lord Jesus. Now, here in 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is more than an endless existence. It is a personal relationship with God and his Son. Now, here in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is Jesus now, as he talked to the Father. He's telling the Father, I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He says, I have finished means I have made perfect or complete. What the Lord had sent him to do, and he had finished his active ministry, and he now assumes a passive role, and he says it is finished. The passive voice suggests that he has by then finished his ministry as well. Now, we know of his ministry, we know of his teaching. And of all things that God has sent him to do, and now he's letting us know, pardon me, he's letting us know that he has done what he was sent here to do. Now we go to verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, he's letting the Father know this, and telling him, because he has done exactly what the Father sent him to do. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. This is quite a prayer that he is speaking unto the Father. Now, 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The only one lost was the one that betrayed him, because he called him the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot. Now, 13. And now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Because you see, they have given up the things of this world, and that's exactly what you and I have to do in order to become that child of the living God. He has to be first in your life and kept with you every day of your life. And you are to be walking in obedience unto his word and whatsoever he will speak unto you to do. Now, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify means to set apart or to separate for God's purpose. Have you been set aside? Is your life pointing always for his purpose? It should be. Does it mean we don't love others here? No, because you see, if we are a born-again child of God, we are filled with his love, and we love all people. But then we have family that we love more than we love others of the world. But still, we are to be ready to do whatever God will ask of us to do for others. Now, 19. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You see, he's been praying for himself and those, his apostles and disciples there, but also for you and I. Because it is through them that we have our belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's through them that we have the word that the Holy Spirit gave to them to record so that you and I could have it to this day. Now, 21. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, we are to be in them and they in us. 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We're talking about some deep stuff here. We're talking about some things that very few will ever accept and reach, because they are standing in selfish pride and they are not reaching for the things of Almighty God and his word. Now, 23. He says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the word may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. He wants the world to know this. As he's telling us there in verse 23. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We know that the Lord Jesus existed before the foundation of this world, because we also know from our study coming this far through the Bible that he was there at creation and in creating the world. Now, 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And we know that we have, when we become that born-again child of the living God, we have all of the deity of the Godhead living within us. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, even, all are within us, and we are to be in them. And we are to be walking accordingly. And if we don't, we're not one of them. I want you to think about this. This is some serious things. And you have to be willing. And you may even have to give up a lot of things in order to carry out what God will ask of you. Now, he may not ask you to give up anything, but you've got to be willing to do it if he does. And when he would ask it, you don't think about it or anything, you just do it. And if he says, go and do this, don't think about it. Don't worry about it and say, well, you know, I don't know how to do that. Start. He'll guide you and give you everything you need in order to complete whatever it was he sent for you to do. We have come to the end of chapter 17 now. I want you to think about this. I've given you a lot of things to think about this day. So spend some time with the Lord God and make up your mind on how you really want to walk. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. But Father, we know that we need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance, to give us the strength of faith to walk in accordance with this word, Father, and to keep it. Father, we need it. written on the tablets of our heart so that we never forget it and always will be able to understand it. That we, as your children, are subject unto you, Father, because our lives are completely yours. I give myself to you, Father. I want you, not this world, but you, to guide me, to keep me, to use me, to reach out to help others, to find what to your children, that peace and that joy that comes with going to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, growing in faith and in thy word, regardless of the trials and tribulations that come against us, we can still stand filled with joy because we know that we are not facing them alone. You are there with us, giving us the strength to make it through. Now, Father, we ask you to be with us through this day. So, Israel, Father, we pray for them to have peace. So we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, thou knowest all things about it. And you know, Father, where this evil has come from. You know those in our government that has brought this evil upon our land and our people, and especially upon our children. Now, Father, I pray that they will be enough of your children that will come together and remove them from office and to replace them with those, Father, that belong to you, so that our government, Father, can work in righteousness and do away with the evil that has been brought upon this land and bring this land to repentance, Father, and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are with me with this ministry, for Brother Kenny Powers, Brother Dennis Lee, for Sister Amy, Father, for her husband and her son, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, and myself. Father, that we all grow stronger, straighter, and all be sanctified, set apart to be used by you to help this lost land of ours to grow more in knowledge. And Father, I'm praying for our churches that has caused division among mankind and that are teaching contrary unto your word. this day, Father, too, we'll get back into your word and the truth of it and stand on and with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit with you, Father, in all things. Now, Father, as we separate this morning, keep us throughout this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe, Father. And use us in some way today to help someone else to find that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that we can help them to reach him in repentance, and they too can receive forgiveness, Father, of their sins and their evil. Now, Father, this is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Remember, be with us at 6 p.m. this evening. Keep me in your prayers. Keep each other in your prayers. And give the Lord God praise and thanks for everything that you have and all that he has given to you. Now, Father, always be with us throughout this day. These are things, Father, that we need you and the Lord Jesus Christ for. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye now.